Okay, I want to welcome everyone back to another week of Biblical People, Places, and Things. We've had some very nice reactions, not only to the from the people who've been in our shiur until now, but also from some of the exciting people who have been sending in comments via the World Wide Web, in particular through YU Torah, where a lot of our shiurim have been archived. And just last week, received some very nice feedback on our discussion about Yeshiva Hashem Ve'Eber. You'll notice the background of tonight's screen is red. That was done on purpose in light of the fact that we're told Esav who? Edom. Esav is identified as Edom. Edom, he is the Ish Seir. He is the one who is who requests Halitani Name and Adom Ha Adom Hazeh. And of course, his oldest son is Eliphaz. And we're going to see that Eliphaz plays a role for us not only in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayetze, where he doesn't exactly appear in person. He sort of appears in Medrash versus the context of finding him in next week's Parsha, where he's going to be stated straight out. So let's get started and take a look at what we know about Eliphaz. So first things first, we know about Eliphaz in a totally different context. Where do we find him? We find him in Parshas Vayishlach. We're told, Vayishav Esav Bar Seir, Esav Hu Edom. Ve'ela toldos Esav Avi Edom. Bar Seir, the following is the history of Esav, who is the father of Edom and Har Seir. Ela Shemos B'nei Esav. Here are the story of the children of Esav. Eliphaz ben Ada Eshes Esav, Reuel ben Basmas Eshes Esav. So we find that the first of the children mentioned is Eliphaz. And then we're told by you, B'nai Eliphaz. Now watch, rarely do I ask you to pay very close attention to the genealogy of a non-Jewish character, but tonight it's going to be important. So Esav has a son named Eliphaz. His mother's name was Ada. Eliphaz has a son, Teman, another son, Omer, another son, Tzfo, another son, Gatam, another son, Kenaz. Now, we're also told, V'simna ha'isa pilegesh le'Eliphaz ben Esav. Timna was a pilegesh, batelet le'Eliphaz es Amalek, and she gives birth to Amalek. So Amalek is not from a primary source. Amalek is a comes from a secondary wife of Eliphaz, otherwise known as Timna. And what are we told? So we see first things first. The first thing we want to notice from the source is that Eliphaz fathers Amalek. And question number one I want to ask is that significant and how so? And by the way, usually children are a reflection often on something in their outgrowth, at least in biblical personalities. Biblical personalities, we tend to learn things from whom your father is. You know, if the Torah identifies somebody and as being Ben somebody, and in this case we have Amalek, the son of Eliphaz, you know, and we know what we think about Amalek in life, what do you think that's going to tell us about Eliphaz in that context? And of course, on the other hand, we find a very different story about Eliphaz, not in Parshas Vayishlach, but rather in this week's Parsha. And we'll find it in Rashi. Look at Rashi in this week's Parsha. When Yaakov Avinu goes out and he meets Lavan, we're told, he raised his voice and he cried. Why did he cry? He cries because, says Rashi in source number two, he glanced in the Ruach HaKodesh, she'ena nechneses imo lekvura. She knew that Yaakov saw that Rachel Imena was not going to come into be buried together with her with him. Davar Acher, and this is where the stuff gets exciting. Levisha Babi Adayim Rekanios. He felt bad. He went out on a date with this girl. He meets her for the first time, and he's got nothing to do to pay for the date. He's going Dutch. Why is he going Dutch? Amar he said as follows. Eliezer Eved Avi Abahayu Bayadav Nizamim Utsmidim Umegdanos. He said, when my father's slave Eliezer came last time, many years ago, to find my mother, he came with nose rings and bracelets and all sorts of goodies. And I have nothing. So he cried. And why did he have nothing? So Rashi tells us, Levisha Radaf Eliphaz ben Esav ben Mitzvah Saviv Acharav. Eliphaz ben Esav recognized that he has a mitzvah of Kibbut Avim. After all, Esav was a big Kibbut Avim guy. And so Eliphaz was told by his father Esav to run after Yaakov. Lahargo, to go ahead and kill Yaakov. Behisigo, and he caught up to Yaakov. Now, here's the problem. Lefisha gadal Eliphaz becheko shel Yitzchak. Since Eliphaz grew up in the home of Yitzchak under the influence of Yitzchak, mashach yado, he held his hand back, right? Amar lo, and so he says to Yaakov, ma'aseh letzivui shel Abba. How am I supposed to handle this conundrum? I have to listen to my father kibbut avim, but I also don't want to kill you because it would kill my grandfather. Just the wrong thing for me to do. So Yaakov said to him, I got an idea. Take whatever money I have. And a poor person is like a dead person. So therefore, you'll be able to walk away with that pretty straight. So we see that what? Eliphaz takes the money and has a somewhat of a conscience to try to deal with the situation that he has with Yaakov Avinu. Which leads me to the following series of questions. First of all, Eliphaz, according to Rashi, grows up in front of Yitzchak. That's what we're supposed to understand. If we want to look at his children and use that as a reflection of who he is as a person, then if we're looking at him from the other side, he is the grandchild of Yitzchak. What does that tell us about him? And two, let's try to figure out, how does he react to that relationship when faced with a challenge? He doesn't totally say, forget about what Esav said, right? Instead, what does he do? He looks at the situation, he deals with the situation, and he tries to find a solution that at least on paper gives him the chance to go ahead and say, I did what my father told me to do, even though he's not able to go ahead and proceed with that. And so that leads me to a question. In the previous series of Psukim, we see that he gave birth to Amalek. Now we find out something that he did. Would you say that that's an action of a tzaddik or the action of a rasha? What he did. He didn't stand up to his father, gives us one impression. But he let Yaakov live, gives us another impression. How are we supposed to look at Eliphaz? I have to be honest, after this story, the way I was always raised, I kind of got the sense that he was an okay guy. You know, and to consider you come from Esau's family, how bad could you be if you're not a bloodthirsty killer? So, you know, I was kind of impressed by that until I looked at the following Medrash Tanchuma. In source number 3, the Medrash Tanchuma tells us that V'chein Womer Mitzrayim Yalad Es Ludim Asher Yatzim Misham Eino Mod Eino Omer Asher Holido El Asher Yatzu Lohodia Shehein Kulan B'nei Ziman. Right? That they all engaged in all sorts of strange relationships in the olden days. We find the same thing with the yichus of the children of Esav. The Eilat told us Esav, Lodia Navlan. It comes to tell us the history of Esav, to tell us how bad it was for Esav. Why? Sha'at Motze Shehem B'nei Ziman, Shekeinu Omer Avi Alifaz Teman. We find that, I'm sorry, B'nai Eliphaz Teman, B'yomer Tzfo B'gatam Kenaz V'timna V'amalek. In Divrei Hayamim, we find that what? Timna is listed as one of the children of Eliphaz. And yet, V'tilma Ha'isa Pilegesh Le'Eliphaz, which tells us what? Says the Medrash, V'lami Chenosas Bito. And what sounds like something out of the newspaper, the tabloids today, or sometimes even the regular news. Eliphaz married his own daughter, right? Ketzad Hayabal Ishto Shel Seir V'Aver V'Yalda Mimena Timna. How did this happen? He went to the wife of Seir Achori, and he had a relationship with her out of wedlock. Esav, right? Eliphaz V'Aver V'Yalda Mimena Timna. And so she went ahead and she had a girl, and the baby's name was Timnah. V'nasa kenosei bito shel Seir, and he married Timnah just like he would marry the daughter of Seir, Vaisabito. And that so we see that what Eliphaz and Timnah were married, and yet Eliphaz was Timnah's father. What a strange relationship. Which leads me to ask the next question, which is, wait, Timnah and Eliphaz, they were married? Doesn't that make him a little bit less like a tzaddik now? I guess we now want to sort of start pegging him a little more Russia-like now, don't we? And the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Tes also notes that Timnah was not just some any person. Achos lotan Timnah maihi. We'll see in next week's parsha that they'll tell us that the sister of Lotan was Timnah. Timnah bas malachim havoi. We're going to see that Timnah was the daughter of kings. She was the daughter of Seir Achori, at least. Iksev aluf lotan aluf Timnah. V'chol aluf malchus belotagahi. There, anytime you see the word aluf, that means that there's rulership here. But bayali agure, she wanted to become Jewish. So ba'asa itzal Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov v'lo kiblua. She came to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and she said, "I want to marry you. He is a great princess, right?" And she wants to join in, and they wouldn't accept her. So halcha ba'isa pilegish Eliphaz ben Esau. So she went ahead, and she was a pilegish to Eliphaz. Amar, because she said as follows. She said, "I'd rather be a shivcha to this nation, the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or at least the children of Avram, Yitzchak, than be a leader of another nation." And nafak mina Amalek. Amalek comes out of her. It's Irenu li Yisrael. So Timnah comes out like a tzadikas, and it almost sounds like Eliphaz is like something great in her eyes, at least. Doesn't really fit with the last source, because in the last source, they seem like they were engaged in some extramarital business. Now it sounds like they're so great, and the people who are the losers are you and me. What's up with Eliphaz? What are we supposed to take away? So let's go a little bit further. Let's carry this a little bit further. We'll take a look at Bereishis Rabasi. But before we do so, I just want to ask you, is everyone still with me? Okay. So there's a comment that appears in the Medrash, Bereishis Rabasi, that I think is going to be a little bit important for us to see. The Bereishis Rabasi highlights and says that Dalad B'nai Esav Re'u Al Yalam Yehush Korach Baruch Lehem. When B'nai Yisrael were on their way back in, and they were going to, and they realized that if you're going to be a part of the children of Esav, then you're going to have to figure out how you're going to deal with the land of Israel and not become slaves. So, of course, Reuel, Yalom, Yehush, and Korach all ran away. They didn't want to deal with the Jew, with Yaakov's children. They knew that trouble was going to be afoot, and they didn't want to go ahead and wind up having to work for the land. Eliphaz did not want to run away from Yaakov. Yaakov was his Rebbe. Right? They ran after and they found Esav dead inside Arodin. This is, of course, at the time of Yaakov Avinu's death. And the argument that ensued over the Mara Samachpela and who had rights. So there was a great battle that took place between Esav's kids and Yaakov's children. So, and Esav was killed in Arodin. And B'nei Yaakov nechnasu b'Arodin v'yanuchu sham b'layla hu matzuas Esav meis muta ba'aretz. Samdu v'kavruum v'nei kavod aviyam. They buried Esav. Some say that he actually made it all the way home. But one thing we know, says the Medrash, that Esav doesn't wind up going to join. And so I have to ask the question. And what is that question? Based on the Bereishis Rabasi, it sounds like that Eliphaz is a Talmud of Yaakov Avinu. How do you get an Amalek from an Eliphaz who's a Talmud of Yaakov Avinu and a mommy like Timnah? So either we have this impression of Eliphaz as this horrible pedophile who engaged in all sorts of incest, and so we can understand where our Amalek comes from, or we get the impression that he was a student of Yitzchak and Yaakov, and we walk away thinking he was a great guy. Which one is it? So I think that it would help us to sort of try to figure out who's who and what's what when we talk about Eliphaz. Because Eliphaz is not exactly the most common of names, right? But we find Eliphaz in one additional place. And Targum Yonason says that it's not haphazard. As we'll see in next week's parasha, b'simna haisa pilakta le'Eliphaz bar Esav. At the end of the parasha, we're going to read that Timnah was the pilegish of Esav, v'aleidas le'Eliphaz yas Amalek, and she gave birth to Amalek for Eliphaz. And who was Eliphaz, says the Medrash? Who Eliphaz chavrei de'Iov. This Eliphaz was the friend of Iov. Alein b'nei Ada itzaseis Esav. Right? So these are the children of Ada. Wait a minute. So now we can identify that Eliphaz was a someone in Jewish history. He's the one in Sefer Iov. Iov was a person who suffered greatly. And what we learn in Sefer Iov is that God sends three of his friends to go ahead and try to console him. And their debates between the four individuals makes up the entire book of Iov. Eliphaz's argument is based on justice. He tries to console Iov by telling Iov, listen, God has a midah of din. And so he uses it. And so that's the guy that we're talking about over here. Well, if you're going to be the guy who's going to be identified that way, do me a favor. Tell me, are you a tzaddik? Are you a rasha? And by the way, since Dr. Wenger's here, let me adopt the Wenger corollary and ask the question, what does Eliphaz mean anyway? Which brings us to the next point. Let's take a look at Eliphaz as a friend of Iov. Bereishis Rabasi, in another place, source number 7 in front of you, tells us that Eliphaz Navi Haya, B'tchila Haya Rasha, L'Besof Haya Tzadik, V'zacha L'Ruach HaKodesh. He was a Rasha who turned into a Tzadik. Source number 8, Medrash Tanhuma tells us that not only that, the people went to deal with Iov, we know who they are. They got out of Gehenim. So we find that Eliphaz, at least according to the Medrash Tanhuma, was not just a Navi who was able to speak, hence he has a right to appear in Sefer Iov. He was enough of an individual that he got out of jail, the ultimate jail of Gehenna, free. And the Psikta in source number nine brings down that Vayavo Amalek Sheba Begiloi Panim. Amalek also comes with an open face. Davarachem Ara Amalek Lavoli Lachim in Yisrael. The other thing you have to ask is, why did Amalek go to fight with the Jewish people? Says the Medrash, Kedelin kom nikmas Esav zkeno, that Amalek came to go ahead and fight the battle and redeem the vengeance of Esav. Diksiv ayistom Esav es Yaakov. So Eliphaz haya b'chor Esav, v'tzivol es garos b'nei Yaakov. Says the Psikta, Eliphaz was given the first opportunity to avenge his father's glory. He was, after all, the oldest. But since Eliphaz grew up with Iov and his friend, right, he didn't want to fight with Bnei Yisrael. And so instead he has a child named Amalek. Amalek comes from the words Amlek. He wanted to lick the blood of Bnei Yisrael. So at least as far as Eliphaz is concerned, he turns into a tzaddik. But based on this psukta, he becomes a tzaddik because he's a friend of Iyov. In previous sources, we saw that he was a tzaddik because he was either the student of Yaakov or the student of Yitzchak. So which way was it? And how are we supposed to make sense out of this fellow who's for some reason in my chumash, but I'm still not sure exactly why? So for that, I think let's go ahead and take a look at a medrash tanchuma. Says the Medrash Tanchuma, and I think that this will give us a little bit of understanding. Ruach HaKodesh Omeris Al Yidei Alifas HaTeimani. Vayan Alifas HaTeimani Vayomer HaNisa Devar Elecha Tala'a Amalei Alifas Le'iov. God to Alifas turns to Iov and he says, Hare Ata Omer Lama Eini Ke Avraham. Alifas says to him, you have the chutzpah to try to ask, why aren't you like Avraham Avinu? Kach Amarta. Right? Show me Chomer, and I'll be like dust. So Rabrechia says, Eov tries to go ahead and argue that he has a right to be like Avram Avinu, and God doesn't treat him that way. But Eliphaz says back to him, you really think you're like Avram Avinu? In God's world, you don't get treated like Avram Avinu, right? And so therefore, you need to understand you're not going to make it. Later, the Medrash comes back. And so again, the Mida that it sounds like Eliphaz is using is this Mida of justice. Either you measure up to it and you get a right to have something, or you don't. And frankly, God just says, I can't perform the same miracles for somebody who's not at the same level. Later on, God doesn't exactly appreciate, says the Medrash, Eliphaz's comments. In the second paragraph, in the second line, he says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Eliphaz. God says to Eliphaz, Le'iov avdi b'chizayon hochachta, right? You gave him a nevuah and gave him Musar through a nevuah. I want you to know, Ani mamid mincha nabi she'yiparim b'savicha b'chazon. I'm going to send a Navi from your children who's going to go ahead and talk about the dangers of your children. Sheneemar Chazon Ovadia, the Haftorah will read for Parshas Vayishlach, where we'll be told Chazon Ovadia, the Amar of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Maro Ovadia Shalom Nisnabe, Elal Edom. Sefer Ovadia is one parak, and the entire Sefer. And all it does is talk about Edom. Al Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Esav Gadol Bein Shnei Tzadikim Lolama Nimasim. Esav grows up between two tzaddikim and he didn't learn from them. Ovadia darbein shnei rishayim v'lo laman nimaseihem. Ovadia grows up among two rishayim and he doesn't learn from them. Yavo Ovadia v'yipara me'esav. Ovadia should come along and get payback from Esav. L'kach chazon Ovadia. That's why Ovadia gives his nevuah. And what does it say in his nevuah? V'aya beis Yaakov eish hu beis Yosef lehava. Yaakov Avinu's house is going to be the fire. Yosef's house is going to be the wind. Ubnei Esav Lakash, Esav's home is going to be straw. Vidoku Bahem V'achalum. And the fire and the wind will go destroy the straw. Lo'yia Sarid Lebeis Esav Ki Hashem Diber. And there's going to be nothing left from the house of Esav. So if I had to define the word Eliphaz, Eli, my God is Paz, he shines. He's simple. It's clear. He's clear. And in what way is Paz Demus Rosho, as we say in the Shir HaKavod? What way is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Paz? It's his Mida of Din. It's simple. It's understandable. And this is Eliphaz's basic way. That doesn't compare very well with the way that he goes ahead and deals with Iyov and how Ovadia will deal with him in the future. You think God is just Midas Adin? You should just know it's going to be a little different than that. Which brings us to a Medrash Tanchuma in source number 11. We now know Eliphaz has something to do with the shining of Din, but we don't know where he sits and what that does for him. Well, the Medrash Tanchuma goes back to another person who sinned. Kiven Sheshama Ruvain Shehoda Yehuda, we're going to read in next week's Parsha, in 2 weeks' Parsha, in Parsha Svayeshev, how Ruvain admitted. And he heard that Yehuda admitted in the Tamar affair to say, Tzad Kamimeni. So when Reuven hears that, Niyad Amad Gamhuvi Amar, Afanichi Lati Yitsui Avi, he gets up and says, I also moved the beds. Amar Alifaz Liyov. So Eliphaz says to Eov, Achuch Shmali, my brother, listen to me. Vizech Azisi Vasapra Sherlachachamim Yagidu. Right? And I will tell you that which the wise ones will say. Elu Ruvain Vyehuda, Levikach Lahem Levadam Nitna Haaretz. Right? That's why they get the land themselves. And when they have a certain strength, those Jewish people, they understand something. Eliphaz says, that therefore they get the right to go ahead and do things in the future. In essence, Eliphaz hangs from the message in regard to doing tshuva. God has a midah of din, but you have the ability to do something about it if you just do tshuva. This is the Eliphaz HaTeimani of Sefer Eov. There's justice. There's tshuva. You do it, you get somewhere. You don't, there's disaster. And it leaves me to the comment of the Dvarim Rabbah in Source 12, where we're told ki solid banim pulas tzadik l'chaim tfuas rasha l'chatas. We're told that the energy, the work of a tzadik leads to life, and that work of a rasha goes to sin. Pulas tzadik l'chaim amar of tanchum ze'alifas. The activity, the work of a tzadik goes to life. That's a reference to Eliphaz. How so? Shegadal v'chiko shel Yitzchak. He grew up in a, so to speak, in the bosom of Yitzchak. But the outgrowth of a Rasha goes to sin. That's a reference to Amalek who grew up around Esau. What do we see? Two things. Eliphaz's influence was Yitzchak Yaakov, or maybe Eov, or maybe all of them. We see that Eliphaz keeps getting influenced by the people he's around. And so my suggestion for what we can learn from an Eliphaz is perhaps the influence of friends and neighbors. Well, to me, this becomes essential when we start looking at a guy who's that close to jumping off the deep end. Take a look at the Tana Devei Eliyahu. Lema nidme Esav harasha v'Eliphaz hateimani v'Amalek. What are they all like? You know what all these terrible villains are? They're all like somebody who finds a blanket or a suit close to the city. So you find the suit on the street, you pick it up. Did anybody lose this? Zuaveda Shalmi, the Skabzukomanayel across us, everyone comes back, but Amaris and Ploni Kamatzadiku, Kamachasidu. They all come and they say, wow, look at that tzadik. Kamakashahu, Amdu Vasu Rosh Vekatsan Shalir. So they make him the leader because they see what a tzadik he was. But Bishana Bishtayim Bishalo Shekhar Kola Medina Sukola Aretz. In a short period of time, within 1, 2, or 3 years, you can see what this person is able to do to destroy the whole entire land. Esav cried 2 tears. Look, he gets our Seir. Didn't Eliphaz show respect to his father? And then he winds up with Amalek. We see something special over there. The concept of din, right? For an Eliphaz, for an Esav, is that God pays back for everything. Therefore, that concept carries through. Eliphaz is a very simple, straightforward justice person. And that's what the Yalkut Shimoni says over here. Eliphaz hateimani amar la amalik b'nel b'shash amar la abba yorish olam azeva olam abba. He said, our father is going to inherit this world and the next world. Amar lo b'nei Yisrael yorshima olam azeva olam abba. What Eliphaz said to him when he heard that Amalek was walking around saying, "Dad, you're the greatest. You're going to inherit everything." He says, "My son, you're not going to inherit everything. Bnei Yisrael inherits. Sevecha por lahem be'eros. Go ahead and dig wells for them. Haskin lem drachim. Prepare roads for them. An infrastructure build that will work, not bankrupt them. Emtasa kein v'yechelkachayim abchusim shebahem. If you do that and you hang out with even the weakest among them, the tavol li'olam haba, you can go ahead and come into Olam Haba." Eliphaz says, it's about taking justice and attaching yourself to a good neighbor. But what does Amalek do? Behulo asakein. Amalek refuses. Eli yatsa lahachriv es ha'olam kulam. Amalek comes along to destroy the entire world. Shenemar vayavo Amalek vayilachim. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God says, Russia! Ani yitzarticha lacha ayin lishonos. I created you after everybody. And now you want to go ahead and you want to become the leader? You should just know you're going to be the leader in Gehenim. And that's what we're told. Rachis Goyim Amalek. The father Eliphaz understood that the ideal in life is not glory or power, but rather to attach to Bnei Yisrael and get into Olam Haba. It's about being a good neighbor and learning from it. Amalek doesn't get that. But of course, that really says Amalek becomes a nasty neighbor. He's the one who comes and runs after you. He's the one who's always what the Gemara calls a ritzua merdas, a terrible strap whacking us in the side. And why does that happen? Because he doesn't learn from his father. He doesn't take advantage of his mother. But of course, we have to ask the question, why do you and I suffer from the Amalek? Just because someone couldn't understand, that means we have to suffer? So I think we want to go back to that Gemara in Sanhedrin that we started with before about Timnah. We're told that after Timnah figured out that she couldn't be with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, she'd rather have been a Pilegesh for Eliphaz. And what happens? Nafak mina Amalek. Amalek comes out of her, it says in Source 15, Ditzarinu li Yisrael, who caused trouble for Am Yisrael, my taima. What's the reason why? Delo iboy lehu lerachka, because they shouldn't have pushed her away. Rashi explains, lerachka mitachas kanfei ashchina, shahaya lahem legaira, Bnei Yisrael should have gone ahead and converted her. Instead, they rejected her. And one of the things we have to remember in life is that when we proceed and we create a rejection, the danger of rejection is aggression throughout Jewish history, throughout world history. When Jews have rejected outsiders, very often the outsiders have come back to fight us. And if you don't believe me, take a look at what happened at the beginning of Islam, and you see what happens when Muhammad came to the Jewish people to try to get them to recognize him. And when they refused, Muhammad changed his perspective on the Jewish people. Says the Maharal in Chidush Agados, Velo Kiblua, why wouldn't they accept her? Says the Maharal, Lo Kiblu le Timna, Bnei Chashivos Umalchus Timna, Lo Tia Nechneses Begeros Kasher Ra'ui. Because she was a princess, she wasn't going to go into the Geros wholeheartedly. You can't become a ger or a gioris unless you really want to become and embrace God. It's not about attaching to the others. Says the Maharal a little bit further down, we'll see exactly what this does for Amalek. She wanted to become a gioris and to attach herself to the people. And had she not been interested and they just rejected her, it wouldn't have been a problem. But what happened? She insisted on not getting rejected. And so when they said, you can't be a part of my club, then she turned around and took it personally. Then she had a problem with the situation at hand. and what was the reason why she had a problem with that situation. The Avos didn't want her to become a Gioris just to marry them. The Avos wanted something more from her. The Be'er Sheva adds that she was going, if she would have converted, she would also have been considered a Mamzeres. After all, when your father is your husband, you can't be too straightforward. Rav Yaakov Emden notes that she was converting with an ulterior motive in mind, similar to the idea of the Maharal. We don't want people to join us for ulterior purposes. And so the Avos, on the short term, pushed her away, not to have her fully join the Jewish people. But when we reject, and we reject in a difficulty, under a difficult circumstance, and we don't make it clear, then that rejection can cause danger. So had we bothered to explain what a mamzer and a mamzeres is, had we bothered to explain how Jewish people become gerim, and how we appreciate people who want to join our people for the right intentions, then things go well for the Jewish people. But as Rav Shimon Schwab notes in his commentary on the book of Iyov, we're to make a clear distinction between our brothers, the majority of the descendants of Esav and Edom, and the one line of Esav Edom's descendants, Amalek. And notwithstanding the fact that their two ancestors were the two tzaddikim, Eliphaz and Timnah, Amalek severed all ties to our brotherhood by its fanatical hatred of anything which smacks of godliness. Amalek couldn't handle the fact that we couldn't be Megayer. Amalek couldn't handle it. And so therefore, they rejected rather strongly. So this brings us back to our beginning. We asked what the story with Eliphaz was. And we identified that he's the same Eliphaz in the book of Bereishis that he is in the book of Iyov. He's an individual who tries to console on a very straight, basic manner. And he uses the idea of din. And he understands that that process of din allows to a certain degree for a tshuva. But if you don't measure up, God doesn't respond to you in kind. Well, Eliphaz himself doesn't measure up 100%. And so Yaakov Avinu has to sort of give him the means whereby he's able to attach. Which led us to the understanding that Eliphaz is really a person who looks for an attachment. When he's attached to something positive, he too stays positive. When he's not attached to something positive, or he's rejected, the aggression that comes from the next generation becomes not only a desire to join, quite the opposite. It becomes a desire to destroy and to annihilate. I close with the famous comment of the Panim Yafos. He says, look at proximities. Vine osio she'acharei chachma heim lotan. After the letters ches, chaf, mem, and hey, we find the letter tes, we find the letter lamed, we find the letter nun, and then we find the letter vav. Rearranging them, we get to lotan, and achos lotan timna. The sister of Lotan was Timnah. The Haisa Minitoto Selu, she came from that spark. The Gamachos, Remez Lachachma. We also know she was Achos Lotan. Achos is a hint to wisdom. Kamosha Amru Chazal, Emor Lachachma Achosia. You should say to Chachma, you're my sister. Bineba Osios, Hine Osios Timnah. Hey, right? If you look at the letters of the word Timnah, her name, Taf Mem Nun Ayin, Shehem Osio Shalifne. Before a Taf, we have a Sin, which is often switched over with a Samach, a Mem, right? Before we get to a Mem, we have a Lamed, a Nun, we have a Mem, and Ayin, before we have a Samach. We get the letters Samuel. Who are Samuel? Who is Samuel? Samuel is the Satan. Right? Taf lifnei Aleph, and Taf comes before Aleph. V'hisha ratzasta lehistakein halach halcha liyakov shikachena given shenachla misharasho. She, says the Panim Yafos, knew that she was going to be close to something. She could either be close to Chachma, like Achos Lotan, or she could be close to Samuel, Timna. But Yaakov Avinu doesn't have the ability to go ahead and fix it. And so, therefore, V'lachein hayakoach Be'elifas the rodfo, rakla soso ani. Therefore, because Yaakov Avinu was only able to fix part of her, right? He got rid of the tough mem from Timna. There was still the ayin nun. Ayin nun, says the great Panim Yafos, is a reference to anivus. Anius. The given shall kibla Yaakov lesake nesasamach mem ocha alifas. That Alifas stole, so to speak, his nevuah. The lachain hayakoach Alifas the radfo braklasoso so ani. Kibin shalot tikein osios timna avolo lahamiso. Kibin shetikein osios timna shem osios mace. By getting rid of the mem and the tuf of Timna and leaving the ayin and the nud, all that could happen was that Timna would be able to be referenced or put close to Anius, not the Misa. At the end of the day, the Panim Yafos, in a more of a wordy style, playing with his wordplay, also tells us this poor woman had an opportunity to figure out who she's going to be attached to. Sometimes even the letters of your name can help decide if you're going to be attached to godliness or to Gehenna. And so, unfortunately, what we learn from Alifas is the understanding that we have a responsibility in our lives. And that responsibility in our lives is to go ahead and be a shining example for God all the time, even in the face of danger, making sure that in the future, what happens to us becomes only of the greatest things in the world. So that is Alifas, and that's what he's doing in my Chumash, and that's what Amalek is. He's the background for Amalek, and that, my dear friends, is this week's Biblical People, Places, and Things. Does anybody want to comment online? I will turn off the recording.